So, Ryan, a ring of up-and-coming Atlanta rappers have been home invading and extorting more famous rappers and other people in Atlanta, but then they wrote songs about it. And so Fannie Willis's office, in between trying to take down 45 and fending off death threats from trying to take down 45, has had to arrest like 26 members of Atlanta's rap scene. But separate from the Young Thug RICO case, which is also happening alongside it. So Young Thug's under like six different racketeering charges.
The name of the gang in question is Drug Rich. In their
Okay.
rap lyrics, they apparently said things like, "Remember on August 27th when we kicked in that door last
Yeah.
year,
They're like
2021?
talking about removing the license plates from cars. It's very specific.
Sign
There's
zero
somebody from the
AH.
they had somebody from the DA's office on the news who was like, "You probably shouldn't put your crimes to a beat and then brag about them." And it's yeah, you got the real sense that they were trying to keep a straight face. But anyway, they home invaded Mariah Carey at one point,
Yeah.
which I feel like a mob's gonna rise up against them. You
That's a
can't do
bad
that. You
plan.
can't do that.
I mean, out of respect, you should just leave the house.
Yeah.
Right? I might take a couple.
Oh, I know what it was. Okay, the gang name is Drug Rich, which is dumb, but they changed it because this gang has been operating for at least 5 years. Because I remember the last time they were in the news, it was 2017, and at the time they were going by Dem Marietta Boys, but then you would get headlines like DMB strikes again. I'm like, what the fuck is Dave Matthews Band doing in the city? And I'm wondering if they changed it because of that, and I'll never, I hope I'll find out someday if that's why they changed it.
This is a robbery. Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall, joined as always in no particular order here. We're going to start with, oh, look at that, Ryan Nanny, live from Nashville, Tennessee. Ryan, how fair is Nashville this week? I'm going to ask the question I always ask you.
Don't do the voice.
I'm going to do it. Did you get a biscuit?
No,
I'm kidding. Are you living?
This
Are
is
you living,
worse
laughing, and loving?
This is worse than your Ricky Gervais voice.
I didn't get a biscuit. I did recently see what could have been, but it wasn't, the most amazing thing I've ever seen in this city, and that was in downtown Nashville, a place I do not go that often. But my wife and I went to the Ryman to see a comedy show, and big line out the building to get in, so we had to queue up all the way down Lower Broad, right by Robert's Western World. And the, you know, the party barges are going by. First of all, everybody who is on one of these things thinks they look fucking cool as hell. And I could not more aggressively disabuse them of this notion. Like, have fun. That's great. But the idea that you are like showing off for others as if you have done, like, no. But, you know, several go by, and then we see one coming down the road, and it's got a huge crucifix on it, and it's a tractor pulling a like outfitted flatbed, and for a moment I'm like, is this a Christian themed booze wagon? Is that booze tractor? Is that what's happening here? It was not, unfortunately.
No.
It was instead. It was a tractor pulling a flatbed with, I think, like five singers on it, loudly and fervently encouraging people to embrace the Lord, celebrating
downside,
his name. Yeah.
Downside, not a Christian booze cruise. Upside, new business model for us.
Ryan, absolutely.
I think Christian booze tractor is like you've discovered redneck Lutherans.
I wish it had been what it was, except it had also had like six dudes in real tree drinking out of like red Solo cups and sort of bounce into the music the whole time.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
I wish it had had like five ladies in white cowboy hats. Being like, the last hoedown shirts. As see, they I thought, were on this Christian pedal tavern.
See, being the lapsed Catholic that I am, I thought, mm-hmm. well, maybe, man, what we have is an exorcism wagon.
Let me tell you, based on how well,
like mobile
and how,
exorcisms.
Yeah, you can't go to the exorcism. Listen, you're too busy being possessed. Right, you need to call the exorcism wagon.
You're hosing people with the magic water.
Holy water. Holy
yeah.
Water.
We could just, you magic know, we water. Could piggyback on an existing industry by having ride-along priests go with mobile detailing outfits.
Mm-hmm. Look, I don't know much about this particular group, what they were doing, what they hoped to accomplish. I mean, I can guess. I can tell you, based on how well they were singing and how loud they were singing, they were definitely not Catholic, my dude. In no way, yeah. Can you imagine anything? Yes.
I don't know. According to the internet, like, you do that shit, and the 17-year-olds are going to be like, oh, this is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's no, it is true. People
the
it's mumblecore. It's mumblecore.
I believe the word is fucking aesthetic. Is the trend aesthetic is the most boring gray sonorous Catholic shit is
dirge
really
hymns.
Fucking cool. Yeah.
How did that sound?
It's
up
like
down?
I said, it's mumblecore religion. That's what it is.
Probably.
The mumble rappers of religion. That's
can't
exactly
wait for,
what it
can't
is.
Wait for Drake to steer into this hard.
Oh yeah.
You heard Drake's Eagle on Eagle's Wings? Damn, it goes.
I mean, depending on the producer, listen, it could go, all right? Try to tell me you put On Eagle's Wings with Just Blaze.
I mean, Rick
superhero
Ross,
music.
Rick Ross has been using Catholic-ass beats for, like, decades now.
So, yeah, that was almost the greatest thing I've ever seen, because I think Holly's right. If somebody can, with a straight face, and in Nashville you can do this with a straight face, say, yes, this is a pedal tavern, but it's Christian, but you can drink as much as you want and be as sloppy as you want, but it's Christian. Like, there's a market for that. There is a market for people who are like, well, yeah, I want to have a good time in Nashville, but I want to keep it Christian. But I want to have a good time, as long as it's Christian.
Ryan, doesn't that main drag have, like, multiple of those Christian Girl Autumn boutiques? So you could even have, like, a hop-on, hop-off situation where you hop off, you get your G's jeans.
It might. I gotta be honest. I was mostly. Whenever I go down to Lower Broad, I'm mostly people watch more than business watch. Because
no,
man,
fair enough.
It's the thing I forget, and this is what happens every time. Is like, I think unlike similar places in the U.S., there are a lot of like old people on Lower Broad on a Friday night, and I don't mean like people in their 50s or whatever. I mean you're like that dude is 70. And he is going into a very loud honky-tonk. And mm-hmm. he is like, what's going on here? There are a lot of people like that. But
I can tell you. I can tell you what's going on there. You know what it is?
So my wife has a theory, but I want to hear yours.
Well, it's the Ron White attitude of, well, I made it this far. We might as well go to hell with, might as well go to hell with, you know, like, no breaks.
What's Caitlin's theory?
Caitlin's theory is that these are people who have been going to Lower Broad for 40 years. And are like, well, I'm not gonna stop now.
No, that's correct.
Just salmon's returning to spawn.
Just because it's some newfangled hipster bullshit doesn't mean I'm gonna stop going.
I love fangles.
I kind of respect that.
Oh. No, I think we're both right, because these are the people who are like, well, I could have been acting right 40 years ago.
Yes.
Bit late for that now.
Yes. If you're wondering, is cigarette smoking still alive and well in America? Come down to Lower Broad in Nashville, because, buddy, it sure fucking is.
Yeah, the only guy I knew who was a big Lower Broad aficionado one time.
Stephen Godfrey.
When we were, Stephen Godfrey, who you can reach at 38 Godfrey on Twitter. I would, the guy who I remember was a guy who owned a battery company and inherited from his dad. And he goes, yeah, I like that bar over there. And I was like, why do you like that, Taylor? And he goes, now keep in mind, he had a, who is the dog, Deputy Dog, who on Hanna-Barbera
Are you
cartoons?
Asking what Deputy Dog's
has,
name was?
Wait, I mean, is it Deputy Dog who has the laugh like?
No, that's Muttley.
Okay, so he had the. Yes. Thank you. He had the Muttley laugh from a good 40 years of two packs a day, mm-hmm. right? Like, he would die if he stopped smoking because his lungs would be like, ah, this oxygen's too rich. I got gout in the lungs, you know? And anyway, Taylor, he goes, I like that bar over there. And I was like, why? And he goes, because when I was 12, I danced on the piano. I was like, were people, and I, you know, jokingly, I was like, Taylor, were people throwing nickels at you and clapping? He goes, they were!
I like that bar. It doesn't have laws.
They've got preteens dancing on pianos, and you can just chuck change at them like buckshot.
You've basically described, Jason, why people live in Louisiana, so...
Bars with no laws. Not like a civilized place like Kid Rock. We'll let you lick the urinal for $5 to own the libs. Well, line me up, buddy.
So yeah, things are great in Nashville. I'm having a blast. Mm-hmm. No biscuit, though. I'll report back.
That's great. Jason Kirk, how we doing?
So Jim Harbaugh is attempting to like invoke King Solomon or something like as a resolution to his quarterback controversy. I'm not. Yeah. What are these noises?
Me, sorry.
Is everyone okay?
No. I was just. I felt queasy. Sorry. Please go on.
Okay. I'm not entirely certain that he is saying he is going to cut one of his quarterbacks in half or whatever. I think he is just referring to the theory that Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, which is the book he's kind of quoting-ish, which is a book largely about how, like, fuck it, man, nothing matters. Who knows? Take a shot. Who gives a shit? Maybe it'll work. Probably not. Doesn't matter. You're going to wake up tomorrow. The world will be the same as it's always been, and then you're going to die. So I don't know.
Phil Mickelson's biblical approach.
It's the Eat at Arby's book.
It is. So, like, yeah. I think at that point, I think Jim Harbaugh has truly embraced being Michigan's coach. Because, like, yeah, man, we're going to be 9-0, and then we're going to lose a bullshit game. We're going to lose to Ohio State. Fuck it. Who cares? Get drunk.
Is this maybe the healthiest he's ever been, attitudinally?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it really might be. And also, if you're going to go ahead and ride with the book of the Bible, Ecclesiastes is great, because it's basically like, yeah, ice cream for breakfast. Why not?
Fuck it. Ice cream for breakfast.
Sweatshirts, like sweatpants everywhere. That's what Ecclesiastes is about, you know?
Mom said nothing but pizza rolls all day long.
That's right. That's right. We're up here in this temple. It's, 53 BC, and I've got pizza rolls. Let's roll.
Big week for Bible fights.
You got the right side of the BC-ness, but yeah.
People don't know, but that's what that's what manna was.
That's what that is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That is
exactly.
Shitting
pizza rolls.
That's why Magic the Gathering has a pizza rolls card to enhance manna.
God,
you can just play it.
God damn it.
Yeah. By the way,
I'm mostly mad because you got there first.
Yeah. We should explain, by the way, Cade McNamara and JJ McCarthy are the two quarterbacks that will be severed at the torso and then re-sewn back together by Jim Harbaugh.
Like two torsos, George?
Grafted?
Yes. Well, we're going to make a QB centaur. We're going to make a QB centaur.
That's Ryan, not what a centaur is.
I think, Ryan, what you're picturing
is like...
That's
what we're
like,
going to do.
Well, no, wait,
it's like it's legs to a waist and then more legs going up.
Yes,
perfect
correct.
Quarterback.
Ryan, give him a second. Spencer, what do you think a centaur is? Don't look it up.
You know what? I may have skipped the adding a horse element here. We would, in fact, make two centaurs.
Okay,
right?
But so no. Now you're missing more horses.
You've just made.
Well,
two
we have
people.
To do something with the front part of the horse. So now we're going to have to take.
We have
the two
to honor
horses.
The quarterback by using all parts of Cade McNamara.
Oh,
at one
my
point,
God.
We're just going to have to staple a horse head onto somebody. Okay.
That's not.
Where are you getting the horse? Michigan doesn't have a mascot.
Western Michigan. That's where.
Michigan State. Western Michigan. Yeah, we're going to take. Yeah,
oh,
thank
no.
you, Ryan.
Co-course.
You guys have problems. Only Ryan has solutions.
Fidgety, addled legs on Cade McNamara.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's skittering around all paranoid.
We're
going to
get
gleeful.
Western Michigan's cocaine-addicted horse. We're going to take it and bring it in.
Look what you did now. He's got anxiety.
Now
going
he's got anxiety.
Oh, Tim Allen.
He's a Michigan quarterback.
I got that Tim the Tool Man pumping through my veins. I'm going to fight the sun.
Tim.
I'm going to fight the sun for the sun.
Yeah, he's going to start. One will start. I believe McNamara is going to start against Colorado State. Then J.J. McCarthy will start against Hawaii. And then they will see time in both games. This definitely seems like a secure arrangement, especially with J.J. McCarthy being the more physically impressive of the two. He's famous for like a 50-yard cross field, really ill-advised throw that ended up working in an early season game last year, and everyone's kind of been panting after it. He's the Anthony Richardson of the Michigan program at this point, in that he's the other guy, and he seems really, really cool.
So the moment of truth is the UConn game. This is when a hero strides forth and claims the reins.
UConn
improved. UConn
didn't look terrible against.
They covered,
UConn,
buddy. Yeah,
didn't
cha-ching.
Look terrible.
Count it.
I would like to really congratulate Michigan and, more importantly, Auburn for not playing in a week where Nebraska lost to Northwestern in a game where they blew a 2-score lead twice. Lest anybody forget that.
And wait, what?
Yeah, that is the thing that happened.
Can you tell me in more detail what happened?
So at various points in this game that Northwestern won 31-28.
The onside kick was fine.
Nebraska,
it was fine. I agree.
Nebraska led 14-3. That didn't hold, as you can probably guess. They also led 28-17, and that didn't hold, as you can also probably guess. But despite that, Auburn and Michigan have managed to like really headline grab in the last week. And I think that's just like what incredible media power these two schools have, which are equals in all other ways.
And this was a crowded news week to try and do that in, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I have one Tim Allen story. Which is that Tim Allen, when filming Galaxy Quest, performed an emotional scene and became so disturbed he looked at the director and said, "I need to go to my trailer. I don't like these emotions I'm experiencing." And he walked away. And Alan Rickman looked at the director and said, "I think Tim just discovered acting."
I think my thought of the day is that Nebraska lost because they didn't kick enough onside kicks. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Also, if you lose because of one onside kick, that's on you. You let Northwestern run for over 200 yards. That seems to be the larger problem.
You lost because you gave up yards to fucking Northwestern, not because of one play that went wrong.
You can have the most board. This may be of some comfort to you that you can have the most football coachy, stayed up, try to respond to this possible. Why were you in that position?
Correct.
Ireland? Also, yeah, why were you?
Yeah, why were you in Ireland?
Why were you I wasn't talking about meridians there, but that's another good point.
Now that we're asking.
I think that let's take it all the way. Why are you literally playing football on August the 20-somethingth? You shouldn't be doing that.
It's also like Nebraska had the ball, 6 more times after the onside kick.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't score once in a game that they lost by 3. I don't know. Feels like that could be a problem.
I think that's a bigger problem than one play.
You might be onto something.
One decision when you were already up. That, to me, does not add up. Additionally, I think we're really underselling the natural disadvantages of playing Northwestern in Ireland. First of all, there is zero corn on the island of Ireland. I'm just going to go ahead and say that, too. Really, you could not get more geeked than a bunch of Northwestern people in a place noted for the arts, culture, and theater. That's it. Like, ooh, so pumped, guys. They have a vibrant theater scene here. Have you seen it? It's also cute and quaint. Completely alien to the Nebraska psyche. They were already playing uphill in this game.
I'm all fired up on some James Joyce.
Yeah.
Nebraska's doomed.
Oh, my God. Dylan O'Brien drank a beer here once. We're going to win by 30.
And as Northwestern, as the final seconds tick off, the crowd is pelting the field with copies of Angela's Ashes.
Listen.
Oh, my God. Hozier did the halftime show. We're so hype. So pumped. He's got the voice of an angel.
Who did do the halftime show? I mean, did they take their bands? I'm just curious.
They did take their bands, and they played a bunch of Irish traditionals, and
that's so backwards, man. Like,
I hope you mean cranberry songs.
There's videos of
they
like
did 70-year-old
Irish guys like fucking loving it.
Oh yeah, there's video of them. They played I forget which song, forgive me, but it was something like, you know, the glens of Walfarney or something.
The rains of wherever.
Yeah, something blank of blank, right? And they were going ape shit. Like, they were going completely mad, right? So otherwise, a complete success for everybody at Northwestern, except Pat Fitzgerald, who had to put up with people getting something for free. Oh!
The noise
it burns him!
The noise you hear is the Scottish hound protesting any more talk of Ireland, I guess.
But Auburn just couldn't stand all that attention.
Nope.
Preemptively being given to the loser of this game. So they just had to have a mess at home. Oh, mm-hmm. Auburn. Oh, Auburn, mm-hmm. You delightful scamps.
What's Auburn done this time? Like, there should be like a weekly sound effect for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, did anything happen?
Did you guys hear the exciting news, by the way, that they're adding a soundboard to Twitter Spaces?
Oh, God.
Yeah. I know. It's going to be so bad for you.
Yeah. Did we have, was there anything that might further threaten? See, this is, okay. So I was going to say, is there anything that could more imminently threaten Brian Harsin at Auburn? However, Alan.
Virgo season.
However, does it really matter who, I heard that. Who leaves? Does it really matter who the athletic director is? Because what we're talking about is that Alan Green, who was the guy who sort of has overseen the Brian Harsin tenure, is now out and is no longer the athletic director, meaning that that's one less big protection
he's
for
out.
Brian Harsin.
He's
extremely
out. He only had 5 months left on his contract, which is very weird to begin with. Like, when have you ever heard of an AD being like, I don't know if they're going to re-sign him. I don't know if he's going to get an extension or like, that's not how normal places work at all. He hadn't been there that long. Yeah.
I wasn't actually kidding. Virgo season is supposed to mark a return to orderliness. Mm-hmm. Like, it has a big back to school energy, and that's just antithetical to Auburn, both in the academic and the orderliness sense.
Here is the most Auburn sentence from this ESPN story. This happened last Friday that they announced that he would be departing. Green had asked Auburn for clarity about his future with his deal expiring in January of 2023, sources told ESPN, and he was told that Auburn was likely to wait until the end of football season to make a decision, and that led to him finding an exit strategy. Like, Auburn is so allergic to stability and calm that when the fucking athletic director is like, so do you guys have a sense of like what we're going to do? Or they're like, well, we're going to go ahead and pin your fate to Brian Harsin. So you should just stick around and see how that plays out. It's like, of course, dude was going to fucking jet.
Nope.
And then, because it's Auburn, this is the only school I can think of where other ADs are like, oh yeah, let's talk shit on Twitter about what a fucking mess they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think knowing Auburn, this means they peel off an 8-0 start, and ADs are clamoring for the job. And then they lose five straight.
Ed Orgeron, interim AD, gets the job full time.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Brian Harsin gets promoted.
The athletic director in question there is Danny White, who is the athletic director at the University of Tennessee, late of UCF. You may know him for choosing mess on several different occasions. This is no different. On Twitter, at 6:12 p.m. on August the 26th, 2022, he said, congratulations, Alan Green, for getting the heck out of a crazy situation for greener pastures.
I've actually never agreed with him more.
I admire how you managed. I know. Yeah. I admire how you managed that chaos with class and integrity. Look forward to seeing your next chapter!
Oh, God, it's so good. It's so good because now, even if we weren't already in like, who's going to be the next Auburn coach? Now, like, Auburn has given us layers to add to this. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, will the coach pick the AD? How will this work? Nobody knows. It's Auburn, baby.
To review, I will just go over the first four games. Not even the first five games, because that's when you get into some serious conference business. No, let's just go ahead and go over the first four games. Mercer, okay. Hopefully they should be able to beat Mercer. No, that's at Auburn.
Mercer had a good start to the year, though. But please, go ahead.
Yeah.
Mercer did win their first game 63-13, so I'm not going to totally write this one off.
Okay. Scary for a quarter. Then done. San Jose State. San Jose State at Auburn. Okay, so they get them, again, at home. We're okay. There's nothing too weird there. Then let's go to game three. Game three, Penn State at Auburn. Not with the poll. Not with the longest poll.
I had this one months ago, remember?
Yeah.
It's only gotten weirder.
I would just like to point out...
Hey, you want to go?
That most of the focus on this seems to be like, oh man, how's Auburn? Oh boy, this is going to be bad for Auburn. I'm just going to fuck this up. Putting a lot of faith in James Franklin.
Yeah, this is the thing.
Franklin. No, it's fine. Boy. Do it.
It's the collision of two great instabilities. It really is. There's the truck carrying chickens over here, which when it hits something, they'll just be nothing but feathers and squawking, right? And on the other side, there is the flammable goods truck, right? Something with like deeply unstable, and they're going to collide. And I really don't know what's going to happen.
Auburn, Penn State, there's going to be chicken fingers.
You're going to smell some really non-FDA approved chicken fingers cooking. That's what we're talking.
There's a low standard for chicken, so damn.
Yeah, damn.
Like Purdue out here. KFC chicken?
Yeah, Purdue out here just throwing alligators into a meat grinder being like, chicken! Here you go. We found 5,000 skinks on the side of the road in a sack. Chicken!
Skinks.
Okay. Skinks.
For a minute, and I thought skanks. We were back to Nashville.
And skinks!
Ryan skunks. Said it.
But yes, and then game four, Missouri at Auburn, which if you said, hey, I definitely know what's going to happen with Missouri this year, join me in being a liar, because I definitely know what's going to happen with Missouri, and I am lying. So those are the first four games before we even get out of that.
I hope Missouri wins that game by 30. And the first thing Eli Drinkwitz says at the post-game press conference is, I have no interest in the Auburn job, and I never will.
I think all coaches should start that. That should become a traditional greeting.
Sure. In all sports, NBA, World Series, whatever.
I love the timing of it, because this is after Penn State week when James Franklin probably will say that.
Yeah. I think Eli Drinkwitz should come out and go, I have great respect for Coach Harsin, and he has a spot on my staff anytime he wants one.
Oh, Jesus.
I think he could bring a lot to our offense. I like what they do. Great detail. Hard worker.
Again, Auburn hasn't played a single snap of football.
Nope.
Already a huge fucking mess. I love you. I love you, Auburn. You make me feel better about my own life in so many ways.
Honestly, though, like, is this less messy than we thought they would be at this point in the year? Because, like, there was a time when they were, like, taking out bounties on their own head coach and stuff. Like, that wasn't that long ago.
This year.
He was on the international lamb. Right. Like, yeah. I think we thought they'd be entering this season with, like, Trooper Taylor at head coach or whatever.
I guess it's just that Auburn's refusal to, like, follow any path, even if it's the wrong one for more than 5 seconds, is like, have you ever watched someone drive on the wrong side of the highway and been like, oh man, that's kind of the Auburn football experience. Where
it's like, you're not sure what to do.
You're like, did they know?
Even if you called somebody, you'd be like, right. Where was it? You're like, I don't know.
I have done that. I have called 911 because in the middle of it, you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here.
Yeah.
I think it's on the wrong side of the road, but using their turn signal and changing lanes.
Right. Following all the traffic laws.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speed limit, everything.
At 10 and 2.
Yes.
Very consciously. Very like a GT, yeah. Like a GTA character at 10 and the, 2.
The reader can't see Spencer's hands, but that was nicely done.
Mm-hmm. Not the first time we've been able to say that outside of context, they're fine.
They're fine. They're totally fine.
Sure.
Things could be worse. Somehow.
Don't say that about Auburn. It'll happen.
Just wait.
God, stretching and waking up from a deep sleep.
Haven't heard from Bruce Pearl in a little bit. Yeah.
There's your new AD.
Why is Auburn basketball playing with IDF patches on their jerseys? Just supporting the troops. That's
oh,
all.
Fuck. Auburn basketball caused the rapture.
I knew it.
As we all knew it.
Marshall Henderson tried to stop it.
Auburn's fourth mascot, Tribulation Force.
Marshall Henderson, the original Constantine.
That's why they called him Marshall. He was an officer for the Lord.
Marshall.
Yeah. Yeah. We do have one more bit of local news to discuss. Auburn being local, it's basically local. Columbus, Georgia.
Don't, right? All politics is Auburn.
Don't hold us accountable for Auburn. That's those people out there. It's their fault. I don't know them. They're very far away. Very, very, very far away.
You talk about them like people of the wastes, where like we closed the gates and left them to the sands forever.
I barely even know what continent they're on.
They're in Afflakia. They're down there in Tank Town.
The lowest circle of Fansville.
Oh, Dr. Dooms taking control of Auburn again. God damn it.
Yeah, they're in Auburn. Is in perpetual like secret wars battle world. Like.
Auburn has been rebooted more times than the Fantastic Four.
Fighting for their lives, and it's all gonna get retconned once the NCAA finds out who did what.
Holly, I think Jessica Alba needed more time to get her version
to
of
get
Auburn
her to
football.
Implement her offense.
That's right.
We have from a reader on Twitter, so we'll call them a listener. I'll assume you're listening because you suggested that we should discuss this. John Legend, I am Stefan Zonia. Please discuss this. It is a survey of America's rudest cities.
Basically, they asked them to self-select. So this is not a what do you think of other cities? It's how rude do you think your city is?
So
which
Memphis,
is why Philly
the Philly lead.
That is why Philly is at the top.
So
of this
Memphis
list.
Has like a either a self-esteem thing or they think they're very rude.
Memphis is like no. Memphis is like we don't want any more people to come here. It's good.
Memphis is like we like a song, our local national anthem. It's called Whoop That Trick, so therefore we are rude.
Our basketball team is the bear that is not cute.
Our basketball team is rude, so therefore we are rude.
Last time we were in Memphis, Spencer got stopped on the street by a man who asked him like about his calf workouts. Memphis is lovely.
I've received nothing but compliments in Memphis, so I'm going to say that this score is inaccurate. The average rudeness score at the top city is with a ranking of 6.43, whatever that means, is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Then second is Memphis with a 6.05. These two being at the top, to me, state that these are our greatest cities, and that rudeness is a quintessential American indication of virtue and worth. These are good people.
But Memphis isn't rude at all.
Uh-uh. Yeah. So who's saying?
The things Memphis scores as self-selects itself as rude in are... not letting people merge in traffic,
mm-hmm.
being noisy in public, watching videos in public, not respecting personal space, and being rude to service staff. So basically, Memphis is a person driving into a restaurant and shoving their phone in a waiter's face so that they can watch a YouTube video without headphones.
Okay, when you put it like that...
Hold on, I'm FaceTiming. What? Yeah. Yeah.
It's called distributing content.
That's correct. That's viewers. There's three actual... If you're sitting there and three people can see your phone, that's four viewers.
Also, like, every movie about the future is, like, watching videos in public is part of it. It's part of this idea of, like, in the future. Everyone's constantly watching videos in public all the time. Like, we said long ago this was how it was going to be. So just get used to it, okay?
Any rudeness scale that has Memphis several spots ahead of, like, Boston and D.C., it's wrong. It's just wrong.
This also explains why Atlanta's not on here, because Atlanta is the least let-you-in-in-traffic city in America, but also they won't admit it. Oh, we would never.
I've been here too long. I won't admit it. I mean, she's right.
It's trash.
She's 100% right, but I am physically incapable of admitting. I'm like, no, I'll let you in. That's fine. As I slam the door on you, it cuts you off like Dale.
If you are worthy.
I mean, there's certain people I won't let over on principle, right? Won't. There's certain people I have to let over. If I see you in an Altima with the twin pipes, I'm like, I'm letting you over before somebody gets hurt. Go right ahead.
This survey also says that this city where non-locals are ruder than locals, the top of this list is Charlotte.
The assholes moving to Charlotte.
Like, is that a thing? Are there like a bunch of rude fucking?
there's a huge, in the Triangle in general, there's a huge influx of, like, IBM. It's like half of that area of North Carolina is now, like, a big technology park. And so there's a lot of engineers there, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And if you know any engineers, I can kind of see how, I can kind of see how behaviorally this might,
That's the triangle though. With Charlotte, it's finance bro.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is this bankers?
Yeah, it's finance bros, 100%.
Yeah.
Or is it visiting fans at Panthers games or something?
They don't have any visits.
Making the pilgrimage.
I came to see Jerry Richardson's flat ass.
It's
where
God,
is that
brother.
Statue kept?
I also appreciate that Philly and Boston self-selected as the top two cities with where the locals are ruder than the non-locals.
Real quick, the ass on that Panther, though.
Yeah. Oh, haunches,
oh,
baby.
Oh, you guys. I have wonderful news. I'm sorry. I have wonderful break. I know this isn't
breaking
news.
This is from yesterday.
Breaking news. Oh, no, this is yesterday. I don't care. Wow. Somebody sent a phishing scam email to every faculty member at Harvard.
How many replied?
And, well, Henry Louis Gates replied all, like, why did I get this? And now the entire Harvard faculty is replying en masse, like, don't open it. Thank you, Matthew Cole on Twitter, whose thread I'm leading. Philosophy and econ say don't open it. Dental medicine says thanks. Cell Bio asks what to do if they already opened it. Please stop replying, everyone, to this list. It's more than 1,000 people from... allergy. Thank you to Sarah for suggesting. Gonna start replying to all emails with "Why did I get this?"
Auto reply.
We also did miss a good story, also from North Carolina, about rowdy Marines. Did you guys see this one?
Uh oh.
I did. Ryan, okay. Go ahead and tell.
So two Marines have been charged with property damage and disorderly conduct after the following took place. They went to Waffle House and shortly thereafter walked out without paying for their food. Then they went to what appears to be like a tourist center where a helicopter was on display. And they decided they would try to spin the helicopter blades. This did not work, and they damaged the helicopter in the process. And took a bunch of pictures of them on, like, hanging on the helicopter and, like, goofing off with the helicopter and a plane that was on display. The thing about it is, one of the pictures you can see, it's not a helicopter, it's like a fighter plane. It says Marines on it, so it's like, guys, you had to have access. This isn't like going to the aquarium and being like, wow, I've never seen a whale shark before, I'm gonna go punch it. This is shit you had at home. Why did you go stiff a Waffle House server and then go look at a go break a helicopter that you already had at home?
This is such toddler behavior. Like a 2-year-old. Like, seriously, just like, what'd you do? Ran away from the table. What'd you do? Went to look at a helicopter. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
We love the Marines.
That's good. Congratulations, guys. Please tip your Waffle House people. Please. And add like $5 because they have a shift bill
to cover the helicopter,
to cover the helicopter fees. The helicopter fees are important.
When I first saw the summary of this story, I was like, "What the fuck kind of Waffle House has a display helicopter? I want to go."
Oh yeah, there's a few of those.
Fuck!
It just landed there and never left. And
yeah,
there it remains.
Yeah, it just doesn't have a battery. Couldn't jump it, so there it is.
It's like a King Arthur kind of thing. Like, you know, if you can get it to start, it's yours.
That sort of made me think that maybe there were some Waffle Houses that had the Jeep with the 50 cal out front, but
sure,
mainly to keep the customers in line.
Probably.
Right? Like, yeah, you know, our guys have hands, but just in case we can't handle yours, we need to outgun you. 100%.
I have another piece of aerial news.
No, oh, please.
I've been saving this one all week.
Or should I say, see who play?
I've been saving this since yesterday. I only showed you the headline. Two Air France pilots suspended for physical fight in cockpit after takeoff. The pilots had a dispute shortly after takeoff and grabbed each other by their collars after one apparently... Oh, that's so cinematic. Zut alors!
I swear to God.
This is after, by the way, man, Air France is going through it. This was a Geneva to, man, they fought in Geneva too.
That's illegal.
Or is it extremely legal?
Hmm. You have to. Yeah. Is so Switzerland the most refined or least refined?
They literally had to be separated by a flight attendant. French newspaper La Tribune reported that the pilot and co-pilot had dispute shortly after takeoff. Fisticuffs ensued.
Damn.
Cabin crew intervened, and one crew member spent the flight in the cockpit with the pilots. Fuck. I assume, like, holding them apart by their ears.
What? There are only two things I can think of that commercial airline pilots fight about. Who's the better pilot? Mm-hmm. Who's had more sex? I think those are the only two things.
I challenge you to a piloting duel.
Like, I think those are the only two things that could be about.
They pass the sticks back and forth doing tricks.
Sorry, yeah. I need to read one more. I need to read one more line from this Associated Press story. Air France said it is carrying out a safety audit in response to this and other recent incidents. The airline noted that it flies thousands of flights daily, and the report only mentions four such safety incidents.
Four? Four's a lot.
Look, we're all human. We all make mistakes.
They literally did the nobody talks about all the flights where the pilots don't fight each other.
Like, here we have, they should bring two really close friends out who are pilot and co-pilot for the press conference, right? They're like, here we have Eve and we have Jacques. Say hi, Eve. Say hi, Jacques. Hi. You guys love each other, right? Yeah. You fly? Yeah. Do you fight? No, we never fight. We love each other. We complete each other's sentences. Yeah, this, like, they should, like, do that.
This is some, like, Jonathan Papelbon on the Nats bullshit. Where it's like, can you just... There are so many other times and places where you can fight. Because if this story was two pilots fight in the airport, it's just sort of, like, funny and weird. But it's like, guys, this is the one time we're asking you to not fight each other.
I think what we do is we have, like, a designated fight breakup person on each flight until it's rectified, and I think it's Mark Wahlberg. Finally, he gets the chance to break up a plane fight.
So here's the thing. You know he's going to jump the gun so many times. He's going to be like, whoa, we got a problem here? And
knock it the fuck off!
Next thing you know, he's like...
Plane hasn't even taken off
got
yet.
Got a 10-year-old in an arm bar.
Also, there's going to be a lot of non-white pilots, which I gather is going to be an issue for Mark Wahlberg.
That's, yeah.
Like, what if one of them's a woman?
I've only blinded one.
He won't believe she's a pilot. He won't.
Yeah.
So you mean you got your wings and everything? They just let you right in? They let you fly it all the time whenever you want?
Oh, Surfer, that's creepy.
Yeah, that's just grabbing great. At the ear like it's a rubber mask, right? Who are you?
It's Jackie Chan. I know it's Jackie Chan under there.
I love the script, but they wouldn't make the movie. But I know it's real life.
Thank you, Felder.
I want to know also who in this flight were standing between them. Were they like, oh, listen, you got to go get, you know, go get Frank. And they're like, no, go get Mathilde. Mathilde will handle this.
Mathilde's here, like, I'm going to make you say three nice things about each other before we cross the Rhine.
She's mean. Go get her.
Of the airlines, though, I think Air France is one where I feel most comfortable with the pilots fighting. If this happened on, like, a Spirit flight, I'd be like, fuck. You know one of them's got a sword.
I think
you know that shit's
going to
end bad.
I think they have the opposite comfort level, because on something like Spirit, I was like, this is definitely a person who's had a cockpit fight before.
Also, Spirit's like, we don't have two pilots. What are you talking about? We're not going to have a problem. We got one pilot.
We got one pilot
and a BB-8 toy that we're hoping could do something in an emergency.
Spirit doesn't have pilots.
Spirit should actually get out ahead of this and issue a press release saying this would never happen on Spirit Airlines on account of our commitment to cost savings, only having one pilot.
That's why Spirit just fucking slingshots you toward an airport near the one you wanted to visit.
On Spirit, the pilot is back there whipping three dudes' ass in a brawl in the rear of the plane. Everyone's like, who's up there? Anybody? No? Yeah, hold on. I got this. That's what autopilot's for.
A Spirit flight launches like, fuck it, Cooper Cup down there somewhere.
When do you think they told the passengers on this Air France flight? And what do you think they told them?
I don't know. Did they?
First of all, I think if you tell them you lie and you'd be like, yep, they both got terrible diarrhea, folks. It's going to be okay, but just awful
don't come
diarrhea.
Up here.
They're definitely not fighting, but it's terrible up here.
Stay back there.
It's horrible. That's why we're staying with them.
We're all fine here.
To give Gatorade and saltines.
That's why the door is extra locked now.
That's the other thing. They can lock themselves in there and fight.
Wait a second.
they're like shoving each other down and you got great comedy scenes.
There's
also not
that much room.
Butt pressing against joystick and.
I am pleased by this though because it proved something. It disproves something that always happens in the movies. The minute somebody throws a punch, the whole plane immediately does an aileron roll to the right or the left.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Like that always happens in a cockpit fight. It's basically a big glider with engines. And if you just if you just hit somebody, it's not and hit like maybe the stick or something. It's not going to just throw everything to the side.
Right. It's not an Indiana Jones biplane.
What I'm saying is that. Given the fly-by-wire electronic capability of most planes, they fly themselves. Go ahead. Get Herb Dean in there.
I'm excited
that three of us are traveling in the next 24 hours.
This is going to be good.
That's fine. Also, I know what they said. I know what they said as an announcement. Nous avons un combat très puissant dans le cockpit.
I will say. If the fucking oxygen masks don't come out because the pilots are fighting, those fuckers are never coming out. That shit is not real. That is absolutely the circumstance in which it should.
In Air France, they're full of wine.
Cigarette smoke.
I went to comprehend my mind alert and active, comprehend my mortality.
I think the only airline I would rather see pilots fight on more than Air France is Alitalia.
Ooh.
Oh, it's not lasting. Also, they might switch sides. The guy starts kicking his own ass.
No, right? That's
right?
Great.
It's like, what are you doing? He's like, I've chosen the winning side. Yours.
Yeah.
By kicking my own ass.
I quit. Speaking of cockpits, I think the most important piece of college football news this week is South Carolina, their mascot, as discussed, I don't know, a few episodes ago, last week? I don't know. When
Cock Commander.
Fuck.
Oh, no, it was...
Cock
it
Commander was,
it was when we
of course,
doing, it was
the,
when we were doing the Levitard episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we talked about it somewhere, in some way. Mm-hmm. The internet's overwhelming choice, the correct and obvious one true choice for the name of the new chicken was, of course, Cock Commander. There was a survey and everything. University of South Carolina has instead announced that the chicken, they will attempt to name it The General after Thomas Sumter. Let's see how that goes for them.
Because the internet wants
something, and you have deprived the internet of it.
Do we call Oregon's mascot the duck?
No.
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 Hell no. Fuck no.
Do we call Clemson's mascot the tiger?
Also no.
Like
no.
This battle has already been lost. You just look stupid, insisting that it hasn't.
South Carolina joining a battle that's already lost. That's crazy. That's crazy.
South Carolina insisting on a historical. No. I know what. They should name the bird Tillman Hall and then chop its head off right before the Clemson game.
They have to get a new mascot every year because he's sacrificed before the Clemson game every
year. Works for Georgia.
God damn.
That's where
Zaxby's,
all those dogs
went. We are accepting all endorsement offers.
They've been doing fine, Ryan, and you just spoke that into existence. It's your fault. When that dog dies, it's your fault.
There's a fucking temple
where
once a year a dog is sitting up top and someone's standing there with they got a 5-iron. Whack!
That's a good shot, Ashford.
It's a bulldog, though, so if it's above 50 degrees, it's like, thank you. This is unbearable.
Vince Dooley, are you wearing boxers under that robe? No, it's hot as hell, son.
I'm free swinging in more than one way.
So that's Ragoff's dick.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's Zaxby's entrepreneur Ragoff. So it's his dick.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
It's good. A penis.
Penis.
Are they going to go, are they going to lean into this and dress the rooster in military regalia? Because then I can be more on board with calling it the general.
Okay, I'm all for this because then we will have a, what is South Carolina's cross division rival again?
That'd be the paramilitary of Texas A&M.
That's right.
It sure would.
Yeah.
So then we have all kinds of opportunity here for pregame arguments over do we have to, as real actual military members, just look at our pants, do we have to salute the chicken?
The chicken outranks the dog.
Oh, shit.
The chicken outranks the dog. The chicken outranks the dog.
Ryan said it. Not me. Not me. Don't come for me.
SEC Super. Okay, wait. What if it's for the honor of the SEC East versus the SEC West, and this is how we finally inject some life into this stupid, made-up cross-divisional situation where whoever wins the game, that mascot has military supremacy for the next year.
Be like, where'd they get the Commander-in-Chief trophy? How'd they get that? Why are they passing that between these two schools?
What if... So, Commander-in-Chief trophy, you need a third school, so we need another military school. Get Vandy
who's,
in there.
Who's the third?
Sailors, yeah, yeah. Vandy's Navy
yeah.
now.
Yeah, Vandy.
Mm-hmm. South Carolina's Air Force, bird wings. Will only approve of South Carolina's chicken being named the General if there is a CGI version with a mustache that hangs out with Shaq.
Yes, that's correct. Correct.
That's a wonderful idea. I don't see anything wrong with that whatsoever.
Shaq will do it too. Like, mm-hmm. Shaq will take any endorsement deals.
Will you pay him? That is, yeah. he has
Wait,
said.
Yeah. Doesn't Shaq already shill for the General Insurance?
Yeah.
Correct. That's yeah. why it's a natural.
You don't even have to give him a new script.
Oh, you, yeah. yep. Totally fine. Just Shaq nope. showing up, leading chance at South Carolina games. Did he go to LSU? Ah, it's not important.
No, Shaq has said he will show up for any endorsement deal if you pay him. Like, that's how scarred he is from spending his rookie bonus on, like, three cars and then forgetting to pay taxes and realizing he was broke. He will never, ever turn down an endorsement deal.
It's like, an ethos.
Yeah. He would shill for the plague if it had an advertising budget.
I mean, so would we.
True. True.
So did Clay Travis. It's fine.
Yeah, we're going to get emails. Folks no are going to be trying at 38 Godfrey.
38 Godfrey.
No one knows on our Twitter. Address.
Yeah.
Godfrey isn't... This is a trick. Godfrey isn't us, but he is our supervisor. So if you really want to get Ryan fired...
Mm-hmm.
And
go straight to the big boss himself, Stephen Godfrey.
If you can't reach him, you can reach his boss, Bud Elliott.
If you can't reach him, you can reach his boss, Alex Kirshner.
Yes.
Alex Kirshner.
Top of the chain.
Yep.
His email is billsimmons69@aol.com. Glad I could help. I'm just gonna do a rare thing where I go slightly off script here. Do we actually want to talk about games?
Do we want to announce where we're going?
Uh-huh. I'm getting to that as a matter
That's
of this.
Up to y'all. Yeah. That's up to y'all.
Yeah. I would like to tell everyone where we're going, which is this Thursday, September 1st. I think week one. Week one. I mean, inshallah, who knows? Like, we should get there, right? Smart.
But, I thought you meant in theory it's week one.
Yes. No, should we get there? We have at 7 p.m. Eastern in beautiful Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a live appearance by myself and multiple other members of the college football media constellation, all descending on the multi-rivered city to see West Virginia at Pittsburgh.
Is that the name of our podcast?
Yes.
Constellation.
The college football media constellation. Stars falling like the punishment of God itself on Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Here's a nude man in the sky with a weapon.
He's fighting with two Air France pilots.
And he's winning.
We will be at the backyard brawl for West Virginia at Pitt. I am excited because I've never, ever been to this game. Who among us has? Holly, have you been to a backyard brawl?
Many times, never at Pitt.
Never at Pitt?
Never at Pitt.
Ooh, it's a big moment.
I have been in Pittsburgh for this game weekend, but never gone. I was very young.
What is your impression of the what? Like, what do you feel like this is going to be like?
Me?
Since you've done this before, yeah. Like, is this friendly? Is this hostile? Is it a weird mix?
It's not. It's not friendly.
You say that with great conviction.
No, I'm having trouble getting a word out here because I am still so personally I carry 13 and 9 on my heart heavier than I think most. That's probably the one that I have the least gotten over.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that game?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Pitt didn't even play very well.
A bad team.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks. Thank you.
As Owen Schmidt of West Virginia said, the worst fucking team in the world beat us.
Yep.
And they didn't do it by, it's not some heroic story. Wow, they really rose up and found a fifth. Nah, man.
Nope, sure.
They were in neutral the whole time. The card just rolled over your ass.
Even Dave Weinstadt told, I believe, Kirshner, yeah, really, all we did was we tackled great. That's it.
That's it.
Folks.
That was the secret plan.
Folks, I want you to note here that I made myself vulnerable for my three colleagues, and this is the result. And that is a reminder, as if you ever needed one, that feelings belong on the inside. Keep them there. No, Pitt and I've got family on both sides of this rivalry. Everybody has family on both sides of this rivalry. This is an emotional gauntlet for me personally at the start of the season because Pitt plays my two teams back to back, and because it's Pitt, I don't have the slightest idea what to expect out of either game. So I'm going to the one that appears less likely to emotionally traumatize me. But we touched on this a couple weeks ago, and I want to be clear that if this is the case, I celebrate it because it's very funny and a sign of our power. But is Pitt slightly overrated this season, and did we personally have something to do with that?
It's weird because they lost their two best players, and they lost their OC, who was effective, but apparently Pat Narduzzi didn't like having an effective OC.
Correct.
So, like,
go find me someone worse.
So, yeah, it appears they're going to slide back to normal Pitt. But the thing is, in the ACC, normal Pitt could win 9 games. So, like, they are overrated. I completely agree. But they might have a completely deceptively successful season regardless. I think, like, win total wise, they're probably underrated, but like AP wise, they're overrated.
But at the same time, they are, considering they won this conference last year, they are the fourth highest ranked team in the conference. Like, they're behind Miami, they're behind NC State.
So they lost, you know, two of the best players in recent program history. I said recent. Settle down. Revis fans and Marino fans and Fitzgerald fans. Yeah,
Marino? I'm not familiar.
Go take a Cialis and relax.
In recent
That's not history, how taking a Cialis works.
And
would know, brother. Settle down himself.
And go get an erection.
Yeah.
What a relaxing hard-on this is.
Just for a moment.
I can't even. My blood pressure went down because all my blood went somewhere else.
See? I was right.
From an entirely personality-based standpoint, can I just say you're maybe the most terrifying person to contemplate on dick pills? It's like, what if Spencer, but more?
Oh, God.
Yeah, right?
So
this
while
is
you're
why
taking
we're down all those hymn sponsorships,
Spencer for men.
So hairy.
All right.
Oh.
So as we were saying, this is also, by the way, I think a team where
I snapped my phone case in half just talking about this game.
If you want to know, this inadvertently is a great comment on the overall decline of USC as a program, because where do two of USC's brightest shining stars at the QB spot end up? That is correct. Playing each other in the backyard brawl. That is where they ended up, because
definitely nothing of note happening in the other direction.
Right.
In that particular pipeline. Yeah, thank you for bringing it up.
Disregard that.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't they, Spencer? It's beautiful country, tremendous academics.
Yeah,
the dream of every dream three of every rivers Californian is
three. To... LA's barely got one.
Like, oh, LA got one.
It's sad.
It's called the ocean.
It's good for Terminator 2, I guess.
Hey, listen, that river's amazing to hide from the cops in. Okay.
I have been to Pennsylvania many times. I have family in central Pennsylvania. I'm not sure if I've ever actually set foot in Pittsburgh other than like driving through it. So this is a pilgrimage to my adopted motherland here.
We're in for a treat because not only will we be in the hospitable clutches of one Alex Kirshner, Ryan, I get to deliver this news to Ryan personally. Alex Fries for the Table Kirshner has made a dinner reservation for our little cadre at a place that is not only a French fry restaurant, but a tater tot restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We are going right into the starchy belly of the beast, and I am so excited.
Hot and cold ketchup on tap.
I hope the name of this restaurant is Heart of Starchness. I really do.
Oh, shit. Colonel Kirsch! Colonel Kirsch taking us up the river into the taters! You know what's great, too, about going to this game with Alex is that if West Virginia loses, I'm going to be emotionally devastated, but Alex is soft, and I can make him feel bad about it, too.
Mm.
Apocalypse Now.
He won't listen to this for 3 weeks. So.
Apocalypse, god damn it. There are no other games that night. Nobody else is playing. Doesn't matter.
God.
Nobody else is playing. Nobody else kicks off at the exact same time.
Nope.
Because.
Typical ESPN honk ignoring the big Penn State Purdue game airing on Fox.
Chill Spencer Hall.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. I'm just repping like the old Big East still. Their checks are still clearing for me.
What are you diverting eyes away from? Mizzou losing to La Tech? Is that the SEC Network honk angle here?
This is me setting up the Auburn debacle of all debacles, which would be both of their two major opponents, their top grade opponents, losing in the first week, right? If we get Mizzou to lose and you get Penn State to lose to Purdue.
Those are their top grade opponents.
Well, the first month of the season for Auburn, right? It's definitely not Mercer. It's not San Jose State.
How dare you?
I know. The disrespect.
The Mercer University. Mercer's going to hit the nay-nay on you. Just watch. Listen,
Mercer's going to fill my prescriptions inaccurately. That's what I've seen. Mercer's got a massive pharmacy school. Everyone here who works in pharmacy went to Lake Mercer. They're going to be like, listen, buddy, I'm going to short you some Vyvanse.
Pill addict Spencer Hall.
That's right.
Dick pill addict Spencer Hall. Oh, God.
I can't stand up in public.
That's why his legs are so short.
That's right. I need him to sleep.
Somehow.
There's a logic there. Blood goes here, away from brain. Sleep.
Sleep time.
Sleep time.
It's like putting a blanket over his cage.
Yeah. Night-night.
Night-night.
Every night I pitch my own tent to sleep.
Oh,
there we go. No, you were leading this there.
No!
People advertise on this show. That's hilarious.
They do. They do.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
I really enjoy that we're skipping Illinois, Indiana, because we don't want anybody to be that powerful. They'd be a threat to us if they were like, watched Illinois, Indiana.
Saturday, in the early slot. I just want everyone to watch South Dakota State defeat Iowa as as predicted on Split Zone Duo by, I don't know, a humble football analyst.
A veteran of FBS, FCS upset predictors.
Some would say.
Ooh, man.
Jason, is there a watch grid this year? Where can we find it? Do everything for us, please.
Yeah, people have been asking. I'm just tweeting it this year, most likely. So, the Jason Kirk is my handle. I'm going to tweet the watch grid every week and gain like 500 followers and then say something about religion that makes half of them leave. That's my plan for the entire season.
Hey, that was a good Vacation Bible School episode this week.
Oh, thank you. We just dropped a, for anyone who doesn't know, we just dropped a Patreon episode about debt forgiveness, which turns out
there's
biblical.
A lot of biblical grounding for that.
Apparently nobody knew, but like Joe Biden's like actually super Christian. It's crazy.
You know that famously favored industry among all religious texts, banking. That's one thing.
Yeah. Notoriously in favor of interest.
Yeah. I like that that's never been a pitch anywhere in history. They're like, listen, this religion, we'd like you to join our club because we love banks. Nobody's ever... That hasn't gone very far.
The one group Jesus went MMA on. The one.
That's true. Jesus totally put the bankers in an arm bar. More of a street brawling style. To be fair, based on the evidence.
It was a hardcore match, I think. There were weapons.
Everything legal.
Trash can lids and folding chairs.
Mm-hmm. If you want an early look at the can't miss, definitely not a problem, ACC favorite. NC State plays at Eastern Carolina at noon. Yes, favorite. Favorite NC State. Remember, this is the team that can't miss that everyone says is going to be very good this year. Yes, nothing bad
Who's
can happen
saying
there.
That?
I think we're like, people are aiming for like 9-3.
That's very good.
Yeah,
that's very good.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The expectations are sky high.
Putting pressure on NC State.
Yes, I am. I expect more.
I'll go. Let's see what happens.
Playoff favorite NC State, who I believe in with all my heart.
Yeah.
Let's push this button.
I am 100% in favor of let's push this button at every point. I'm pressing that button. NC State, make or break season. Show me what you got.
Look, it goes perfectly. I'm saying putting this on NC State goes perfectly with the rest of our playoff picks.
Yeah.
It's true. It's one of our best picks.
What does break mean? Like, what is a rebuilding year at NC State? I don't understand.
Make or normal. Make or stay.
Make or take a nap.
Make or chill. Make or grab a Cialis and take a nap.
Yeah, NC State is the program with the least amount of make
break.
Or break in its history. There is
or
just
break.
Just ache. Constant ache.
Make or ache.
That's make what it orb.
Is. Ache and get guys
make
drafted.
Make orb great.
I would also like to congratulate our producer, Serber, for unwittingly having the powers of the full cast when it came, almost at least, when it came to the UNC game. Which,
man.
Almost didn't happen against
it's contagious.
Florida A&M.
Yeah, I decided they would play. I just want to be clear.
That was kind of you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was kind of you.
And be not merciful.
So, I don't know. You want to speak anything into existence for UNC App State?
I don't think it works if you do it on purpose.
That's true. That's why
I think we want this game to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like anyone with any who finds any comedy in UNC or Mac Brown or anything like that, you want to take a look at this one.
I do like that if you're scrolling through the ESPN schedule for this and it's showing you like tickets are, you know, $20 here. It's tickets as low as $2 for Buffalo at Maryland. That Maryland home atmosphere continues to just be fucking electric over here.
Having the ticket price alongside the games has provided some of the more eloquent commentary on the state of these programs than even many of the fine journalists I know employed there.
Central Connecticut at UConn is $6. Buffalo at Maryland is $2.
Troy at Ole Miss is $7.
All of those are more than we paid to get into Vandy UConn last year.
Yeah.
But UNC App State is up to $187.
Whoo!
ULM at Texas is $4. What's wrong, Texas?
I think that's ULM setting the prices, being like, we can't pay more than this.
This is one of those situations where I want to go see the park. Ryan, look up the parking at that game.
For the Maryland game?
No, for ULM at Texas.
Oh, ULM Texas. ULM Texas parking.
That's got to be, by the way, I think that also is because Texas has not put out a depth chart. So technically, Texas, we don't know that they're actually going to display any of their fine players. This is what you've done to the market, Sark, with
the
your
lowest,
machinations.
The lowest price I can find on SeatGeek for parking for this game is $14.
That's a lot less than I thought. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that there's not a lot of $14 parking left. Most of it's more in like the $25, $40 range.
I want to note Nebraska is following up its disastrous misadventure overseas by 7 days later playing a FCS Dakota. You shouldn't play any of those. It's North Dakota specifically, so it's not the best Dakota, but still, don't play a Dakota.
That's, it's not Dakota heavy.
That's bad for you. No, yeah, they're all Dakota heavy now, basically, right?
There's two heavies and two lights, and you're playing.
So I don't want to play any of them.
So that means when you go to ESPN only lists it all as week one. So that means Nebraska and, I guess, UConn and Illinois and Charlotte, a few teams, are on here twice. That's great.
They're just working twice as hard.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. But Nebraska is the only one of them that flew overseas and lost. So.
Do you want to talk about Florida's opponent? I would like to talk about the Florida Gators for once.
Yeah, no, I would love to. That's fine, because I really think they're going to beat our ass. Like, yeah, I know. I'm typically Mr. We're going to lose. Y'all, we're going to lose.
It takes us a few weeks every year to remember that we fucking love Utah as a team. And I love that we get this early in the season, that we can start off. Because I feel like every year for the past, like, 5 years, halfway through the season, we're just like, man, Utah. And we never carry that through season to season. But I'm toting that with me. This is going to be fun.
This is probably, other than Backyard Brawl, I think this is probably the game I'm most looking forward to this week. I have money on the Gators to cover, but yeah, two and a half points at home with a team traveling that far. But I mean, Utah could be really, really, really good.
They could be real good. And additionally, like, if we want to go ahead and solve the potential issues on the back end of the Florida defense, doing it against Cam Rising and a RPO kind of offense with a solid run game behind it. Yeah, I don't feel great about that. I don't feel great about that at all.
Let's also note Bama is playing a team that couldn't cover against UConn.
You don't want to train anything.
A little flat out the gate with the
You know, listen. This is what you call a warm up. This is 10 reps with just the bar. You know, Nick's old. You want to warm up those muscles before you really start whomping and a wailing. You know, unlike a young whippersnapper like Kirby Smart, who's just decided to go ahead and take on Oregon at 3:30 p.m. here in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia, in the return of Bo Nix. How much does this suck for Bo Nix? He's like, well, at least I won't have to play Georgia. Where are you transferring? Oregon. Hey. Guess who you get to eat shit against again?
I think he likes it.
What gives you any indication that he likes it other than it's scheduled?
He signed up for the next team on Georgia's schedule. I'm sick of waiting until October.
The Lord keeps you humble.
The problem is they have all that time to build momentum. I want them early. Let me at them.
I want that 6'3", 300-pound man who runs a 4'6", fresh. Don't get him tired first. Nope. I want him straight out of the box.
Well, and also, traditionally, every time, because Bo Nix has played enough football seasons to where we have words like traditionally that can apply to him. Traditionally, Bo Nix plays Georgia. He has already been sacked like 100 times. He's coming in at zero right now.
Mm-hmm.
George, yeah, that's
Georgia's just fucked here.
Fresh and fluffy.
Week one, Bo Nix is his most like slanging it as well. I feel like he's most just like all throws are good throws. All throws are good throws, man. In some universe, let's see if it's this one. Whapow!
Every single snap against Georgia is just sheer terror. It's just sheer terror the whole time.
But that's his secret. Every single Bo Nix snap is sheer terror for everyone, regardless of the opponent. Yes. It ain't about them. It's about us and our terror and how scared we are of ourselves.
Every snap a Safdie Brothers movie.
Like, imagine you were in a bank and someone came in to rob it and they had a chimp with them. You would be scared in all directions. Mm-hmm. You know? You'd be like, this is bad for me. This is bad for that person. This mm-hmm. is bad for wherever they go next. It's like, this is just danger in every direction possible.
This could go real smooth, except for your accomplice. I don't know how to tell him it's gonna be cool.
Mr. Buttons is here for the money. Not you.
He's here for the bank's money, not yours.
Yeah,
not worth it. Wrote the note. It's just shit smeared.
He keeps grabbing from my sandwich. Give him your sandwich.
I'm sorry.
Don't be a hero.
Give Mr. Buttons your phone. Not the Android. He doesn't like those.
Your face is insured by the FDIC. Nobody needs to die today.
He's only eaten a few faces. By the way, the moment in that bank robbery where
Lane's gonna adopt a chimp.
Yeah, it's gonna have its own Instagram.
There are account. Background checks for these things. That's not gonna happen.
Yeah, boy,
not in all states.
Ryan, that's the most un-American.
Don't you remember our big cat episode?
You're right.
Yeah, that's the most un-American sentiment you've ever expressed. There are background mm-hmm. checks for owning a primate. No.
That's why inflation is so high, because of these regulations on primate ownership.
Biden depressing the chimp market.
And mm-hmm. when I, Dr. Oz, win this Senate seat, I'll make sure that every man, woman, and child in Pennsylvania can own their own chimp.
You've made Dr. Oz sound cool.
Yeah. You know what? You're the first person who's done that.
That's incredible, right? How'd you do that?
There are millions devoted to this very task, and you did it for free, the first person.
Now I have to leave and never come back.
Man, Oprah's got some shit to answer for.
A lot.
Which I never really thought I'd say.
A lot.
Oh, wow. Ryan really did go.
At one point, yeah, he did. He was like...
God, they found him.
He's got to go win a Senate seat.
Sorry, folks.
There would be one horrible moment in that bank robbery where you'd look up as a security guard with your gun drawn, and you'd have to think, am I about to get in a gunfight with a chimp? Is this what I signed up for today? And the answer is yes. That's what you signed up for today. Getting into a gunfight with a wild animal who also has a gun.
And a liquid death endorsement deal.
Not a complete non-segue to Notre Dame at Ohio State.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oof. Bad idea.
I did. This does seem like not to frame everything as gambling, but I don't really know any other angle on
DraftKings.
On Notre Dame playing Ohio State. That seems like a lot of points. It seems like a lot of points to me.
It's a lot. I think this is really going to put Notre Dame as cool to the test, because losing by 25 isn't all that cool.
I mean, do you think that's officially predicting like a severe ass kicking on national television?
It's a big fucking line. Yeah.
That's a big.
It sure is.
It sure is. I like that I've mentioned this to multiple people and no one has gone, yeah, I think I'll go the other way. Then they've been like, well, that is big line.
Yeah, I mean, I look at Bama's favored by 39, Ohio State's favored by 18, and I'm like, yeah, those are big numbers, huh?
Look at that.
Sure enough are. I mean, Notre Dame could be good and get its ass whooped. So.
It's like staring up at one of those clouds that looks like a star destroyer.
Yeah.
It's moving fast against the wind.
Think that's anything? Probably yeah, nothing. I do.
I don't remember a season that has felt more like there is an incredibly clear tier one of teams and then just a huge rummage bin beneath. Like, usually this is how we feel at the end of the season, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's a little suspicious. It's a little ominous. Yeah. Where are the curveballs going to come from? Will there be any? But, like, it's just, like, the top three just feels so cut above everyone else. And I don't remember a season that started this way.
Right. Typically, you have to get down to, like, 12 before you're just guessing in every area of, like, making your preseason. This time I got to, like, 5, and I was like,
Yeah. I mean, honestly, even 4. Like, Clemson is, like, I mean, they sucked at offense last year. And
yeah.
They might get worse at defense, you know? Oklahoma, they might not be good at offense anymore. You know what I mean? Like, everything after three is a guess.
Oh, I had Tennessee at four, great. So that was easy for me.
Well, that obviously that was easy.
My playoff pick.
Your playoff pick. I do enjoy people ranking Clemson this high without going, hey, so did they fix any of their problems on offense? Did they
little change? Old Clemson. You know, they're just delivering rat poison to little old Clemson.
That's me. Call me the poison man, because I am delivering. Because did you fix any of your problems? Did you get a new quarterback? Did you get a fresh offensive mind from outside of the organization? Did you? No. They didn't do any of that.
Are you still all having the same haircut? And is it that haircut? Yep. All right.
Yeah.
I'm just going down the staff page. Yes, you do.
Okay. We didn't even change the dang coiffures.
No, we not.
Same attitude, same haircut, same
bunch
quarterback.
Of grown men that look like they got their haircut sitting in a race car.
I like the argument, too. They'll be like, well, DJ Uiagalelei doesn't have as much pressure on him this year. What?
They're fourth. They got a four by their name. That's a lot of pressure.
You could just say anything on the internet. It turns out you can type anything and it'll show up.
Yeah, you can just say it. It'll go right over to the internet. That seems like more pressure to me, especially because they're in year two. And if you're not good, they're going to start, you know, they're going to start to suspect maybe you're not good. Maybe this won't turn. Maybe you will not improve.
No.
It's also, kind of, you know, like, I mean, last year Clemson ended up, you know, 10 and whatever, and ranked like 13th or whatever. Like, they could win 11 games and be deeply unimpressive. That could definitely happen.
I'm excited to see what this fan base does, because I'm old enough to remember when on this very show we were like, heck, y'all imagine getting sick of Clemson fans? That's going to be weird, huh? Ha ha. And then they set that in record time. And I'm wondering if they are going to revert to their former, mostly inoffensive selves, or if they are going to stay this hungry in the face of their own roster and resources and reality.
Cerber, what do you think? When Clemson's time at the top is officially done, are y'all going to be lovable again?
No, never. We weren't insufferable? You thought we weren't insufferable?
Yeah, we're fine.
No.
Okay.
No, you're fine.
We've always gotten on my nerves.
Clemson does remain far and away the most, and I'm not a person whom this particularly bothers, because I think the pretending is part of a larger problem, but Clemson has far and away remained, more than any SEC school I have ever been to, the most hollerin' homerish press box on the planet, and I don't expect that to change in any way. I'm talking more about the general populace.
Yeah, no, never gonna change. We've been on top now.
Okay.
Listen, they weren't very good before 1981, mm-hmm. and then they hung on to 1981 for, you know, 30
That's
years,
true.
Thinking, you know, we belong there. That's where we actually belong. But the NCAA, you know, if they wouldn't have forced us to fire Danny Ford, they made us do it, you know, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, this is
essentially
it's just easier to mute someone when they're 23rd all the time.
Go balls.
Is it South Carolina doesn't have a 1981 quid pro quo ipso facto that, right, or whatever, you know, that's it. That was the whole argument for decades and decades.
Yeah, you ever seen a championship ring?
Now we've tripled the number of 1981s. What have we done?
Does your coach live in a castle?
Does he live in a La Quinta?
Until he can find love before the last petal of this rose falls.
Pardon me. I have to dog wrangle.
What is she barking?
Dog's fine.
At?
No clue.
Dog's fine.
She's y'all,
barely audible. She's fine.
There is the biggest doe I have ever seen in my life, just roaming around my backyard. And Betty, who has been completely indifferent to deer up until this point, has decided that this dog is a home invader and the deer is a dog, like a very tall dog.
Yeah, deers are dogs, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Clemson. I realize this, but I'm only just now reckoning with it. Clemson at Georgia Tech is the...
oh, man.
That's the casual fan Super Bowl this year.
This is like the...
That's the Labor Day night game.
This is starting to feel like Florida State Bethune-Cookman. I don't want it.
It's not far off.
Mm-mm. Sorry.
Although AC Lion has picked Georgia Tech. AC Lion from the Georgia Aquarium, Homer.
Traitor.
Has picked the Jackets.
You know, that's just typical bias by those with fewer than four major limbs against the Tigers.
Maine, New Mexico. That's it. That's my final word on the subject.